Thank you, Aaron. It is good to be with you here today. It's good to see each one of you. We've come here this day to meet with our Lord. I want to begin today by reading in Mormon chapter 2 and verses 52 and 53. Know ye not that ye are in the hands of God? Know ye not that he hath all power, and at his great command the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll? We know that God is obviously all powerful, and that all mankind is in his hands. You know, today I want to look at some examples where God has preserved his people, and at the same time he destroyed the wicked. I want to start in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We know that Noah was a righteous man. He prophesied to the people, trying to warn them of the coming destruction. But they would not listen. Now let's read verses 4 through 7. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from all the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. We see that God protected them. And it says that Noah was 600 years old. Can you imagine building an ark at 600 years old? Obviously, things were different then. Let's read verse 16 now. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. We know that the Lord shut the door. That protection, that separation, that we would know and that Noah would know at that time that it was the Lord, the Lord's will that this was done, and that he was preserving Noah and his family. Because I would assume that it would be somewhat distressful for Noah. As we read in verse 21, And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeper thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. It had to be distressful to them to see that, but they knew it was God's will. And this was in his hands. This was his decision. That the world had become so wicked at that time that only 8 souls were saved in that ark. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 21 through 31. And here we are now with the house of Israel. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, ever since I was a little kid, and we've all heard the little Bible stories, this is one of those things I always wanted to see. I wanted to see that miraculous thing. It's hard to even imagine that. Obviously, God is all-powerful. And he had a plan for his people, didn't he? They came, they were fleeing from the Egyptians, and they came to the sea. And it would have looked kind of dire to them, wouldn't it? But the Lord had a plan for them. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. The Lord destroyed them all. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What a marvelous, miraculous thing that was, where the Lord destroyed their enemies and protected them. And we know that they'd seen many miracles before that, don't we? The Lord preserved his people. Let's look in Alma, chapter 7, and verses 9 through 12. And here we're talking about the Nephites. Do ye not remember that our father Lehi was brought out of Jerusalem by the hand of God? And we know the story of Lehi. He was prophesying to the people, trying to warn them in Jerusalem that destruction was coming upon them. And what did the people seek to do? They sought to kill him, didn't they? But the Lord took him and his family out of Jerusalem. And we know the rest of the story, that a few years later, that Jerusalem was destroyed. Again, destroying the wicked, the enemies of Christ. Verse 10, do ye not remember that they were all led by him through the wilderness? And have ye forgotten so soon how many times he delivered our fathers out of the hands of their enemies and preserved them from being destroyed, even by the hands of their own brethren? Yea, and if it had not been for his matchless power and his mercy and his long-suffering towards us, we should unavoidably have been cut off from the face of the earth long before this period of time, and perhaps been consigned to a state of endless misery and woe. We know that the Lord continued to watch over them and bless them, didn't he? Took them across the sea, brought them to this new land. Lehi, Nephi, righteous men, the Lord blessed them, preserved them. But we know that there are requirements for us to receive God's protection, to receive his blessings. So let's continue reading here. Alma 7, verses 13. Behold, now I say unto you, that he commandeth you to repent, and except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the first thing that is a requirement, isn't it? That we must repent of our sins. And, you know, the Lord always makes things plain, and if we don't, he says we can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. It is a requirement. Verse 14, but behold, this is not all. He hath commanded you to repent, or he will utterly destroy you from off the face of the earth. Yea, he will visit you in his anger, and in his fierce anger he will not turn away. Behold, do you not remember the words which he spake unto Lehi, saying, inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. Here's the second thing, isn't it? That we must repent and we must keep his commandments. And you know, we have many scriptures that give us many commandments, many things we should do and shouldn't do. But really it's summed up in this, isn't it? Keep his commandments. We have them before us. It is a requirement. It is a requirement. And again, it is said that insomuch as you will not keep my commandments, you shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. Again, the consequences for not following after the Lord, not listening to him, not keeping his commandments. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And we're going to read here really what the will is for God, for all of mankind. This is his desire for us. This is his desire for the whole world. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. We've already read several examples of how God preserved the righteous, but he destroyed the wicked. Did God want to do that? No, this is what he wanted for those people. But they were not righteous. They were wicked. They turned against him. To lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We don't see that in the world today, do we? But we can have it in our hearts. We can have that peace in our hearts, no matter what is going on around us. It says, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is what he wants for the world. And he wants all men to be saved. That is, you know, God loves everyone. He loves the wicked, the evil. He wants them to have salvation. He wants them to come to a knowledge of the truth. But they have to follow. There are requirements. We have to follow after his will. Let's look at Mosiah chapter 9 and verses 39 through 41. So page 259. This is a scripture that is often read for a baptism service. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burden that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. We see here some of the requirements of us, that we be that, have that love for our fellow man, to bear their burdens, to mourn with them, and to stand as a witness at all times. We do that here, we come here to church, we must also do it in the world, even until death. Verse 41, and now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that you have entered into a covenant with him, that you will serve him and keep his commandments, that he will pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you? We know this is a requirement. We read in other places that we must be baptized to inherit the kingdom of God. And when we do that, we go into those waters of baptism. It is a witness unto those that attend and to God that we have entered into a covenant with him, a promise to keep the commandments, to serve him, to follow him all the days of our life. And if we do that, he's promised to be here with us, to pour out his Spirit upon us, to guide us, direct us. And we know he is always faithful to his promises. Verse 44. And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And he said, Helam, I baptize thee, having authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that ye have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead, as to this mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. Requirements. Our all-powerful God . We are in his hands. He has given us the law. He's given us the commandments that we must follow. We must be diligent in doing that. Not be weary. 2 Nephi, chapter 12, and verses 74 through 78. And this is on page 158. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people, which are of the house of Israel, that I am God, and I covenant with Abraham, that I would remember his seed forever. We know the story of Abraham. A righteous man in his day. And the Lord made a covenant with him that he would be with him, that he would be with his seed for all time. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. So we see this covenant that God made with Abraham and his seed, who knows how many millions of people that is. Billions, I don't know, probably. A covenant. Okay? But look at what it says. They still are required to keep the commandments of God. It says, if ye shall not keep the commandments, ye shall likewise perish. So this covenant only applies to them if they were following after the Lord and serving Him. Verse 77, for behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. There it makes it very plain, doesn't it? No matter who you are, you have to repent and follow after the Lord. For the Lord covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in His Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. Again, that same requirement for all people, all of mankind. We must repent and follow after His commandments. You know, we read earlier how the Lord blessed and prospered the Nephites. And we know this story that we have in the Book of Mormon. It begins in about 600 B.C. when we first read about Lehi and his family. I want to move forward in time now. We're going to move forward to the time of Christ, and then we'll go on beyond that and see the rest of their story. And we have to remember their beginnings of Lehi and Nephi, that were righteous men who served God, who loved God. Let's look at 4th Nephi, chapter 1, and we're going to start with verses 1 through 3. This is on page 681. And we know that this is shortly after that Christ came to the Americas, that He appeared to them. And this is an account of the people of Nephi. And it came to pass that the 34th year passed away, and also the 35th. And behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them, and did truly repent of their sins, and were baptized in the name of Jesus, and they did also receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Kind of like paradise. They were baptized into the Church of Christ. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. It says, and they were all converted. They were changed. They were changed. From the natural man, who we know as the scriptures tell us is an enemy to God, they were changed to followers of Christ. Let's read on here. It gets even better. Let's read verses 17 through 21. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God, which did dwell in the hearts of the people. Can you imagine that there was no contentions in the land? In the last few years, the contentions in the land have just multiplied and multiplied. Contentions over anything and everything. But not here. And there were no envyings, nor strife, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which have been created by the hand of God. What a wonderful place that must have been. A wonderful time in history. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites, nor any manner of ites, but they were in one, the children of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of God. And how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings. Yea, even they were blessed and prospered, until 110 years had passed away. And the first generation from Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in the land. So we see that original group of people, they all remained faithful. They were truly converted. They remained faithful all the days of their life until they had all passed away, until that first generation had passed away. And there was no contention in the land their whole life. It'd be kind of nice to just close the book, wouldn't it? And say, that's the end of the story. But it's not, is it? It's not the end of the story. Let's go on. Let's read verses 27 through 30. And now in this 201st year. Okay, so we went from 110 to the 201st year. Not exactly sure what happened in all those years. But there was obviously beginning of a falling away. Let's go on here. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them which were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and of fine things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and began to deny the true church of Christ. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were churches which professed to know the Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto them to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. Something happened in that time, didn't it? Somewhere along, the people were no longer converted. Their faith got weak. They started to fall away. We have to be aware of this. It happens in the Church of Christ today as we speak. People have fallen away. Something happened along the way that their faith started getting weak, and they started losing that faith and belief in Christ. They no longer had that desire to serve Him and follow Him. And we can see where it ended up here. To where they completely lost all their faith and fallen away. A warning to us to be careful, to remain faithful. To don't let all the crazy things in the world influence you and lead you away. We can see these things that this scripture is talking about in the world today, can't we? There are good people out there. I see them all the time. I know there are lots of good, righteous people. But there is a big trend in this nation and around the world leading to wickedness, leading away from Christ. In this nation, we are seeing things happen that we could never even dreamed of. Evil things. Falling away. Let's finish the story. Let's finish the story of the Nephites. We saw where they began, didn't we? A covenant people, part of the house of Israel, righteous people, loved the Lord. A period of time, a long period of time, where they served the Lord, and there was basically no sin. Everybody loved everybody. And this is where it ended up. Mormon, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Behold, I, Moroni, do finish the record of my father, Mormon. Behold, I have but few things to write, which things I have been commanded of my father. And now it came to pass that after the great and tremendous battle at Cumorah, behold, the Nephites, which had escaped into the country southward, were hunted by the Lamanites until they were all destroyed, and my father also killed by them. And I, even I, remain alone to write the sad tale of the destruction of my people. All destroyed but one. Why? Because they fell away. They were no longer following after the Lord. They turned to the evil wickedness of the Satan. The Lord's protection was no longer upon them. They were no longer blessed. They no longer prospered. Just as we read of people in Noah's time, they were destroyed. The Egyptians, they were destroyed. Jerusalem, it was destroyed because of wickedness. Verses 8 and 9. And behold, the Lamanites have hunted my people, the Nephites, down from city to city and from place to place, even until they are no more. And great has been their fall. Yea, great and marvelous is the destruction of my people, the Nephites. And behold, it is the hand of the Lord which hath done it. The Lord allowed them to be destroyed because of their wickedness. Hard to imagine if you listen to this whole thing, how you went from the beginning through the middle and it ended up like this. We must remain faithful. No matter what's going on in the world, we have to remain faithful. In 2 Nephi chapter 11, verses 76 and 77. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction. And this grieveth in my soul. The Lord was striving with the Nephites, wasn't he? He was blessing them, and they were serving him, and they were following him. But there came a point when they turned away from him, and the Lord destroyed them. Now I want to look at the history of the United States. We can go back and to 1 Nephi chapter 3 and verses 151 through 156. We can read a little bit about this, the Americas. This is part of Nephi's vision that we're reading here. This is the Lord gave him a vision of what would happen. And obviously this is, you know, it says this is about 600 B.C. Obviously this would happen many, many years later, many generations later. Verse 151. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord, that it was upon the Gentiles, that they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. In verse 152, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon them that were gathered together against them to battle. The early beginnings of the Gentiles in this nation, we know, this is part of this here is talking about the Revolutionary War, America, becoming independent, the Lord blessed them. It said the Lord was with them. And let's read verse 155. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone out of captivity, were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. We know this is a blessed land. It was so ordained by God that this nation would be free and independent. And it says that they were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. That is all the rest of the world. This was what was ordained by God. And they did prosper in the land. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful blessing the Lord gave us. But again, just like all the other people we have read about, there are requirements. The people have to be faithful. They have to keep the commandments. They have to serve the Lord. Let's go over to Ether, chapter 1, and verses 31 to 35. This is on page 717. The book's falling apart. I need to change it to a new one, but it's too much work. Verse 31. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off upon the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. He's talking about this land. We know it's a land of promise. And we see the requirement that whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God. The same requirement throughout history. Or they shall be swept off. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of iniquity upon the children of the land that they are swept off. It's getting pretty bad, isn't it, in this country, with some of the things that are going on. It says, until they are ripened in iniquity. We know the Lord is very patient. I'm not sure how much more he will allow. I don't know where we're at this in this process, but I can guarantee you that it has begun. We are in this process, in the ripened in iniquity. It has accelerated in the last few years. And when they're in the fullness of iniquity, the children of this land, they are swept off. A warning to this nation. Of course, most people that don't believe in the Book of Mormon, they don't have these words. Of course, I'm sure most people don't believe these things anyway. You know, the United States, the world power, nothing can happen to us. But we have to put God in there. He's the one who's in control, and he has made these decrees. Let's read on here. Verse 34. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that he may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land hath hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifest by the things which we have written. We must serve God. I don't know the future. I know what the Lord has said. That we must serve him. But I know he has us in mind. Those that remain faithful, he will always be with us. But as we've seen in the things I've read earlier, that the Lord will destroy the wicked. It is part of his plan, it is part of his decree. that we have to serve him. Let's look at 3 Nephi chapter 7. We're going to read verses 34 to 36. This is on page 646. And thus commandeth the Father, that I shall say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of the gospel, and shall be lifted up in pride of their hearts above all nations, and above all people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lyings and deceits, and of mischief, and all manner of hypocrisy, and murders, and priestcrafts, and whoredoms, and of secret combinations. Do we not see all this today? The secret combinations. I'm sure we don't see 1% of all those things that are going on. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then will I remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and I will bring my gospel unto them, and I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember the covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come. We know that this is ushering in this, where this gospel will be taken back to the house of Israel. The Lord has promised that, and we know that this has begun. But there's much more to be done, and it's all in God's plan. It's all in God's plan. We shouldn't be discouraged. We have the scriptures. We know of the Lord's love for those that follow him and serve him. That he will bless us, that he will prosper us, he will protect us. We know he has that great love for us. We have to remain faithful to him, not get discouraged. We've read of several accounts where God protected the righteous. And to do that, he had to destroy the wicked. We've talked about some prophecies concerning this nation. So where is this nation today? We can see a decline. I don't know where we're at in this. I know the Lord is very patient. I don't know what it was like in the day of Noah, how it compares with today. But God knows. He has a plan. He's mindful of us. Let's read 1 Nephi, chapter 7, verse 30. It's on page 75. Verse 30. And all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. Again, the word of God. Fight against Zion. Fight against the kingdom of God. Fight against Christ's doctrine. But let's look at the promise for us. For those that remain faithful. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath shall come upon, Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. The Lord is mindful of us. So what's important about this message today? It's where we're at spiritually in our lives. Individually, where are we at? We need to remain faithful. And if we're not faithful, we need to do something about it. I'm sure there's all different levels of spirituality. In this room, whoever's watching live streaming, throughout the church, throughout the world, there's all different levels of spirituality. We need to look at ourselves. I need to look at myself and say, where am I at? Am I getting stronger? Am I getting weaker? Do I have that complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Am I not going to let all these distractions and evil of the world lead me away? You know, Satan is working very hard, trying to lead away everybody, all the souls. So we've read about things that have happened, things that are to come. But it all comes down to each one of us individually. Where are we at? We have to remain faithful, repent of our sins, keep the commandments. And if we do that, it will all be well with us. I thank you for your time.